morning.
I'm going to give a special welcome to the students. I assume some of you, ETSU students, all of you over here, ETSU. Very good. Glad you're here today. Very glad. Excited. I'm excited always to come here to share with you. I think at the end of my life, I mean this with all sincerity, I look back and one of the highlights of my life will always be the opportunities when I've been able to come and share a little bit from God's Word with you. I think so much of this church and how the Lord has used this church for over 12 years, I think, in this community, in this Tri-Cities community. So thank you for being so faithful to continue on and to do what you're doing in the community. I think it's very encouraging and exciting, and I have a very tender heart place in my heart for China and Chinese friends. So anyway, thank you for being here today. And I'm excited. I get to talk about a fishing story today. How many of you like to fish? All right, there's some fishermen. All right, I like to fish. Not very good at it. And fishing is found in the Bible actually pretty frequently. You know, you have the story of Jonah and the whale. That's the biggest fishing story, Jonah and the whale. You have different fishing stories that you read about in the Gospels. And we're going to look at one story today and look at what the Bible says about becoming a fisher of men. You know, what does that mean to be a fisher of men? And it doesn't mean for people who are single who are looking for a man, but it's what does it mean to be a fisher of men spiritually? How do we draw people to Christ? So we just read the scripture. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 5. If you don't, just look in the bulletin, and we're gonna look at this verse by verse, go through this story. This is a very important story in the Gospels, because it talks about the calling of the first disciples. So Jesus is calling the people that he wants to be with him for the next 3 years of his ministry. So these are the first disciples. The word disciple simply means a follower or a learner. And it didn't have a religious tone to it originally. You could be a disciple of anything, you know, but here it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus. So he's calling these early believers to be followers of himself, followers of himself. And he uses a fishing story, or he leads them through a fishing experience. Pretty exciting. Now, and I may have told this story a long time ago, but my wife's father, who's now in heaven, he's passed away, but he loved to fish. He loved to fish. And mostly the type of fishing, it wasn't with a reel and rod and a hook and you cast it out. He didn't do that kind of fishing. He did a different kind of fishing where you would put the bait in the water and leave it overnight. And then the next day you would come back to where the nets were, you know, where the bait was, and he'd pull up the nets to see if there were any fish. So my mother-in-law, which would be his wife, she sometimes got very irritated at him because he would take sirloin steak and really expensive meat and he would marinate it and make it very tasty. And then he would cut up the steak in little chunks and put it on the hooks, and then he would drop it in the water overnight. And his wife would say, "What are you doing? I can't believe you're doing that." So he did that one evening. And the next day he went to pull up the nets. So he began to pull up the nets, and he was like almost 90 years old, 80 something, almost 90 at the time. And he was having difficulty pulling the nets up. He thought the net has got snagged on a log. Couldn't get it out. But he kept pulling and he kept pulling. And finally, he pulled the net out of the water, and there was this giant fish on the hook. Well, he wasn't strong enough to get the fish out of the water. So what he did, he took a rope and put it in the mouth of the fish, and he tied it to the back of his boat. And then he rowed the boat. He drove his boat to the ramp, boat ramp. This is a true story. And he gets to the boat ramp, and he still wasn't strong enough to get the fish. So he pulled his truck. He pulled the truck over the boat ramp and dragged the fish out of the water onto the land. True story. To let you know that it's true, I even brought a picture of the fish. That's the fish. A 94-pound catfish. And what that, it, he went to the local store and someone took a picture of it and they sent it into this famous magazine in Tennessee, or Alabama, Tennessee Tom Sportsman Magazine. He won an award for his 94-pound catfish that he pulled out of the water, and I thought, oh my gosh, I would never have believed that except I saw the picture, so I had to believe it. This is like this story in the Bible is like that. Look at verse, we're going to go verse by verse, chapter 5, verse 1. Now it happened, while the crowd was pressing in on him, they were listening to the word of God. So, chapter 5 of Luke, this is at the very beginning of the gospel. Jesus had been baptized, he was launching his ministry. And you may not know this, his ministry was very short. Only 3 years, did you know that? He had a 3-year ministry. 3 years. And this is at the very beginning of his ministry. And the crowds are beginning to gather around him. His name, he was becoming known. And it says in verse 1, they were pressing in on him, and they were listening to him, and he was standing by the lake of Genesaret. Genesaret. And I didn't check this in advance. Hopefully I can use this. Yeah. And I think I've drawn this picture before because one other sermon was about this lake. But here's... Okay, this is Israel right here. That's approximately, this is the Mediterranean Sea. This is Israel. Jerusalem is down here, capital. Okay, this is the lake we're talking about up here. And I didn't draw it very well, but it's sort of like that. It's around 13 miles this way. It's around 8 miles that way. So it's not a big lake, but it's below sea level. So there's mountains that surround it. There's mountains that go around this lake. It's called different things. Lake of Tiberias, the lake, Sea of Galilee. You've heard that? And this word here is a different word. This word means harp. And some people said the lake is in the shape of a harp, which was a musical instrument that they played. So that's where the lake is. It's not a large lake, but it's fresh water, and it's full of fish. Now there's a river, you know this river, right? There's a river that goes from here, this sea, the lake, down to another body of water down here. This is the Dead Sea. It is salty. There's very, very little life. There's some fish in it, but there's very, very little life. This sea here is the lowest point on the earth. I don't know if you know that. The Dead Sea is the lowest point below sea level. So they're connected by the Jordan River. That's where Jesus was baptized, the Jordan River. So Israel was divided into three parts. You had Judea, you had Samaria, and Galilee. Galilee. So just looking at our map, the U.S. is this way, about 8 hours by plane. So China would be this way, another maybe 8 hours that way by plane, something like that. So that gives you a picture. This is the sea of the Mediterranean Sea around there. So because of the geology of the lake, and it was below sea level with mountains around it, it became a natural way for your voice to project. So what happens is Jesus gets into a boat on the shore, you're right here on the shore, and he begins to teach the crowds from the boat. And so they could, there was no magnification, there's no microphones or anything. So they could hear him because his voice was projecting out from the boat. That's why he got into the boat. So you, in your mind, you have to imagine this. The crowds had gathered around the shore. So the crowds are gathered around the shore like this. And he's in the boat and he's teaching the crowds. Everybody get that? So in verse 2, it's the boats that he got into were fishing boats. Fishing boats. Because some of the fishermen, look at verse 2, they were washing their nets. So normally what happened then, they did their fishing at night, because at night the fish would be in shallow water. And during the day, when it was really, really hot, the fish would be further out, you know, further out in deeper water. So two of the boats were on the shore, and the fishermen were washing the nets, because that night they'd go out again. They'd go fishing again. Verse 3, look at verse 3. So Jesus gets into one of the boats, which was Simon's. And we know who Simon is, right? Mm-hmm. That wasn't, you know, his name was not originally Peter. His name was Simon. And Jesus actually gave him the nickname Peter. And it's an interesting thing, like John, Simon was like his Jewish name, but Peter meant the rock, the rock. And later on, we know the history, Peter becomes the leader of the church. He was the rock, the leader of the church. So Jesus gets into the boat, verse 3, it was Simon's boat. And they put out a little bit away from the land, and Jesus begins to preach a sermon to the people, to the multitudes. Verse 4, look at verse 4. And when he had finished speaking, he says to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Now, we're going to see it in a moment. Peter had his own fishing business. Him and his brother. His brother's name was Andrew. And they had a partnership with the sons of Zebedee, named James and John. So these four men had a fishing business. Now their wives probably ran the business, but these four men, that was a joke, these four men had their own business, their own fishing business. Okay? So they were professional fishermen. They caught fish so they could sell the fish in the market so they'd have money to eat on and pay their bills. So these were professional fishermen. Now, what did Jesus know about fishing? And we read in the Gospels, his profession was he was a carpenter. He learned to work with wood. He learned it from his own father, who was a carpenter. And sometimes Jesus is called the carpenter. You know, Jesus the carpenter. He learned to work with his hands. That was his profession. But Peter and his friends were professional fishermen. So Jesus turns to the professional fishermen and says, "I will tell you how to fish." A little bit of humorous there. Verse 5, Simon answers, "Master, We worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. Now, when I've gone fishing, if I don't catch a fish in about 10 minutes or 20 minutes, I'm starting to lose interest. And I'm thinking, why are they not biting? Why are they not taking the bait? They had fished all night. The entire night they had fished and caught nothing. But maybe Simon heard something in the teaching of Jesus that got his attention. We don't know. Maybe he did. I think he did. Because he says, I will do as you say and let down the nets. So they go into the deep water and they let down the nets. And what happens? Look at verse 6. They enclose a great quantity of fish. Their nets begin to break. There's so many fish in the nets that the nets are coming apart. So Simon and his brother Andrew, they call for their partner, said, James, John, come over here with your boat. And they fill up both boats with the fish. And you know what happened? There's so many fish, the boats begin to sink. They're so heavy with fish that the boats begin to sink. There's so many fish. Then something very dramatic happens in verse 8. Look at verse 8. And here in this segment now, we see the word Peter used also, Simon Peter. Verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw the catch of fish, he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And why would he react that way? He says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Think about that idea. You see, Peter saw Jesus now in a different way. He said, Jesus is not just a man. Jesus is not just a good teacher. Jesus is not just the leader of the church. You know who Jesus is? He's the Creator God who knew where the fish were. He was God incarnate, God in the flesh. He was God Himself. Now, sometimes we don't know how dirty we are until we come into the light. I remember going camping one time, and we spent the night. We went camping up in the mountains, and you know, we're living in sleeping bags, and we were just got dirty and filthy. You know, we didn't take any baths, and we weren't washing anything. And I remember coming home. And getting home, and my wife looks at me and says, "Man, you're so dirty. Your clothes are filthy. They're dirty." And we were standing there in the light, and the light was exposing how dirty the clothing was, and my face and my hand. I was just a mess. Sometimes you come into the light. When you come into the light, you see how dirty you are. And you see, Peter was in the light or the presence of Jesus. So it says that he falls down. in reverence. He's falling down at the feet of Jesus in reverence. He falls down in the boat in reverence to God, to Jesus. And he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And you know what? This is what makes Christianity unique and different from all other religions. It's what separates Christianity from the cults. You know, the cults will say, "Oh yeah, Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is a good man, Jesus is a prophet, Jesus is a teacher," but they will not say that Jesus is God, the Creator God. And that's how you tell the difference between true Christianity and what the cults teach. And it's what other religions also don't teach, that Jesus is God. So Peter falls down in reverence to Jesus. And in the Old Testament we read, it says, one of the Ten Commandments is you shall worship no other gods. You know, Jesus wasn't God, then Peter's committing a great sin by doing this, because he's worshiping a man. But the truth of it is, Jesus is God. And he's showing reverence towards God. Verse 9, amazement had seized them. They had just seen this whole thing in front of their very own eyes. They were amazed. They saw the catch of fish. In verse 10, we identify his other partners, James and John, sons of Zebedee. And those four men became the core group of Jesus' leadership. Mostly it was Peter, James, and John, but Andrew is the one who had introduced Peter to Jesus. But James and John and Peter became like the inner circle of Jesus. And the Last Supper, they were the ones sitting very, very close to him. John was right there at the side of Jesus at the Last Supper. John was the one who was at the cross when Jesus was being crucified. John is the one who took care of Jesus' mother, Mary. He's the one who took on that responsibility. Peter became the leader of the church. James, he became one of the very first martyrs of the church. He was put to death for his faith, James was. So these were men who became very influential in the church, and Jesus had called them into ministry. Look at verse 10, the last part of verse 10. Jesus says to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching men." Jesus is saying to these men, he says, "I'm giving you a new calling. And that is to catch men." In other words, to tell others about Jesus. Now, how did this affect them? Look at verse 11. They bring their boats to land. You know, all this happened out in the water, out on this lake. But they bring their boats to land. You know what they do? Look at that verse 11. They leave everything and follow him. They leave everything and follow him. Now think about that for a minute. What does that mean? To leave your nets behind. They left their boats. They left the nets behind. And this morning, as I was thinking and praying about this sermon, in my own life, I began to wonder, you know, what What are the nets in my life? What are the things that I hold on to and have trouble letting go of? What is it? You know, and we all have them. It could be money or wealth. It could be possessions. It could be your occupation. It could be your education. It could be fame or being well known. It could be success or accomplishment. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things I mentioned. But what are the things that we hold on to so tightly that he wants us to open our hands and let them go? Because the beauty of it is when you let go and follow Jesus completely, it means there's nothing holding on to you, holding you back from your relationship with God. There's a professor on campus at ETSU who I have worked with for the last several years. He's from India. He came from a Buddhist family. There were Hindu. Came from a Hindu family in India, the western part of India where there's almost no Christians. You know, India is about 98-99% Hindu. So he came to America, he had a PhD in biology. His wife is a PhD in microbiology. And you know what happened? He came to know the Lord. He became a believer in Christ. But his family did not come to know Christ. Not yet, but his family. And his wife doesn't know Christ. She still practices her Hinduism. And so in a very real way, my friend, had to grapple with the idea of letting go of his nets, of letting go. You see, in his family heritage, he was the first person in the entire history, his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, his great-great-grandfather, for hundreds and hundreds of generations, he was the very first one to become a Christian in his family. And he had to make a choice to follow Christ. And God has honored him. God has honored him for his decision. But it wasn't easy. Now he's teaching at another university up in West Virginia, and so we still keep in contact with each other. But for him, he had to do what it's talked about in verse 11. He had to let go and follow Jesus. So I'm not suggesting that this is an easy thing to do. But I am saying this. When you let go and give your life to Jesus, he will bless your life. He will forgive you. He will give you the gift of eternal life. He will wash away your sins. He will bless your life. Doesn't mean you're going to become a wealthy person overnight or anything. But he will bless your life in ways you can never imagine. It's worth it to give your life to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this passage that we've just looked at. Lord, it's so challenging in my own life. And I do reflect, Lord, what are the things that I I cling to, that I need to let go of. Is it material things? Is it wealth? Is it reputation? Is it fame? Is it friendships? I don't know. But these disciples, Lord, they left everything to follow Jesus. And I do know this too, Lord, that we're sitting here in this building and having church right here today because of the influence of those four men and his, the other disciples. 2,000 years later, Lord, we're still feeling the effects of their sacrifice and their commitment and their devotion to you. So I pray for us here as a church. I pray for each person in this room, Lord, that we would respond to this message how you want us to respond. If we don't know you, that we would trust you as Savior. If we do know you, that we would be willing to let go of everything to follow you. We pray for our influence at ETSU, at the VA, at Eastman, at in the businesses and companies and places around this area, Lord, that we as believers would be shining lights of the gospel.